out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear it and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. A few days back, I was driving along and I saw a bumper sticker. I had never seen it before or since. And if any of you know where I could find one, I'd appreciate it. But it went something like this. The Lord has been so good to me. I tell you this afternoon, let's consider this man David. David is a person in the Bible that we all should be able to identify with. He was a man after God's own heart. You said do a character study. Let's do one. He was a man that God loved. If I understand what God teaches, so is all of the saints of the Lord. Every last brother and sister of Christ are loved by God and are provided for by Him. Loved even as David was loved. And yet, we know that David was quite human. We have learned, if not today, at times in the past, of David's adultery, murder, many other things he was guilty of. The mightiest warrior that ever lifted a sword. We think of David as a kind, meek shepherd. He wasn't. Whenever we speak of warriors, he was the mighty among the mighty. Goliath, through the power given to him by God, could not stand before him. We are like David in so many ways. The 77th Psalm. David said, Lord, hast thou clean gone forever? Can't you identify with that? David said here that the Lord has blessed us so many times and in so many different ways we can't even put a number to them. And yet he provides a short list, does he not? I had patience on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and he heard me. Think about it just a minute. How many times has the Lord heard you? We say many times, and it's probably in jest, and probably not a good thing to say either, but we all say it, I'm as guilty as the next, that it doesn't seem as if our prayers get any higher than our head. I don't know how many of you have been on the farm or around young creatures there or in the woods, but I can tell you this, the meekest cry of a young calf is answered by the mother cow. You let a fawn blade in the woods, and there'd be a half a dozen does over there to look out for her, for that infant's interest. Can they possibly love those infants more than the Lord loves us? Do you think you ever say a prayer that the Lord doesn't hear? That's an impossibility. The Lord hears every word uttered. As a matter of fact, He knows every thought. He even knows them before you think them, doesn't he, Brother Oscar? He knows what I'm going to get into tonight. As a matter of fact, if I knew as much about my trip home this afternoon as the Lord did, I might just stay over here, eating all. It says, with patience, wait on the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means if we don't get patient, that if we don't have patience, the Lord doesn't hear us? Oh, is that right? The Lord won't perform His promise unless we have patience. Let me tell you a story about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham got very impatient, didn't he? As a matter of fact, him and Sarah got so impatient, they said, let's don't wait on the Lord any longer. Let's just go ahead and take matters into our own hands. And the result was Ishmael. Ishmael and his people have been an enemy unto Isaac and his descendants from that day even to today.
Amen.
You see what happens? I mean, you mean to tell me Abraham was in danger of losing the promise because of his and Sarah's impatience? Why, no. The Lord listens to us whether we're patient or impatient. You see what a wonderful thing, what a wonderful Savior we have? Just think about it. How many times has He heard us? Well, He heard us today. Pray for the service, did He not? He heard every one of our prayers. What did you ask for, Brother Steve, when you prayed for the service? What did you ask for, Brother Malcolm? Or Brother Mark? Or anyone else in here? What did you ask for? He heard us all, didn't He? And what did He do? He gave us all what we need. Now, does that mean, Brother Ed, that we go all hear it? Or listen? We'll probably hear. You may not listen. That's my problem. What is it the preacher said? I can hear the wife from the mailbox say, supper's ready. I can't hear her from across the room when she says, take out the garbage. The Lord listens to our cries. As every infant in this world is listened to. These young children, you let one of them cry out. And it was a wonderful thing to see them here today. We would all instantly be there to help. Our Lord is mightier than all of us put together. Says He reached down and picked me up out of the miry clay from a horrible pit. Notice He didn't just say pit. It said from a horrible pit. What does the word horrible mean? That means there's nothing about the pit that you're in that you're going to like. Easiest way to put it. As a matter of fact, your whole being is going to loathe the pit. You're going to want to get out of it. He said, my Lord reached down and He picked me up out of a horrible pit and He set my feet on a rock. Now, David is talking about blessings. How many times has the Lord picked us up out of the pit and set our feet on the rock? Did He do it one time? You know, we have car wrecks. And people walk away from them. We go, oh my goodness, the Lord was with me in that thing. I wouldn't have survived it if the Lord hadn't been with me. That's the truth. No doubt about it. But let me ask you a question. How many accidents out there never even occur because the Lord rides with us? How many unseen pits along life's pathway do we never even fall into? I venture to say that there's more out there that we don't fall into than we do. But you know what? David said every pit. He said He picked you up out of heart of pit. Every pit David ever fell into, the Lord picked him up out of it. What about his sin with Bathsheba? He didn't even know he was in that one, did he? He knew it and yet he ignored it. Whenever Nathan came in, notice Nathan didn't come in ranting and raving. Why, David, you the worst king we ever had. No, he didn't, did he? He came in and gently approached the subject. whenever he finished his words, and he said, David, you that king, you're that thief, you're that person, David instantly knew what kind of trouble he was in, didn't he? He knew what his pit was immediately. Did not the Lord pick him up out of that one also? Sometimes it seems as if we've just dug a hole so deep we'll never go get out of it. Little word of advice I've been given many times. I don't know, I don't seem to heed it very well, but I've been told that once you get yourself in a hole, quit digging. I don't know about you folks, but I keep on digging. Precious children of God, our Lord reaches a long way down and picks us up. We sang a song. David, in another psalm, says, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You can't get deep enough, he can't reach to you, can you? He looks out after every one of us exactly the way that he looked after David. And David was delivered from pit after pit after pit. And we're the same way. Oh, I just absolutely love the travels of the Hebrew children as they left Egypt. Reminds me. 19th chapter of the book of Exodus in the 4th verse. I thought you was going to quote it this morning. I wish you had. He says, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how that I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's how he started talking to Moses. We're just like that, aren't we? You see what I did to those people around you? You understand how I have bore you on eagle's wings and how I have brought you to myself? The Lord did all these things for us. The Hebrew children, when they left Egypt, what did they do? Well, we know went to Mount Sinai and got in trouble, right? They went into the most inhospitable place on this earth and lived for 40 years. I suppose that the continent of Antarctica is not as inhospitable as the Sinai Peninsula. Very few creatures can even live out there. There's no water anywhere. Very inhospitable land. Now, think about this. How different is that from our lives? Moses said of Jacob, the Lord found him in a waste howling wilderness and kept him as the apple of his eye. That's a condition we're all in, is it not? What did those Hebrew children do? They went from oasis to oasis to oasis. Some of them were there. Some of them were created by the Lord. That's our lives, is it not? That's our church life. We go from Sunday to Sunday, or to meeting to meeting. I don't know, maybe you have 60 meeting every day. I don't know. But you go from meeting to meeting to meeting. From oasis to oasis to oasis. Were we blessed to take that sweet drink of water and leave with our souls refreshed one more time? Or better yet, how about from bended knees to bended knees to bended knees? I go from one sweet prayer to another one, to another one, to another one. How do you suppose you make that journey? Well, I did it myself. No, you didn't. You know, how many of you have a copy of the poem Sayings? I do. My son gave it to me. I keep it with me all the time. I think I do. I did. I don't see it. But you know what it says. I was walking on the beach, and I was walking with my Lord. And I looked back. And some places on my trail, I saw two sets of footprints. In some places, I only saw one set of footprints. And as I thought and pondered what was behind me, I realized that during the troubled times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. So I said, Lord, why did you desert me during those periods of time? I needed you most. He said, you don't understand. Those aren't your footprints, they're mine. I was carrying you during that period of time. Let me tell you something better than that. How about if you look back across the beach and there's only one set of footprints as far as you can see? And they belong to the Lord. Is there a possibility, Brother Steve, he's carried us the whole trip? There is there not? I'm happy with that thought. I'm happy to believe he carried me into periods of time too. I'm not very old. I'm older than I was yesterday. But the older that I get, I find that I need the Lord more. And I find that he listens to me more. Or maybe is it the other way around? Do I listen to him more? I fall into pits more and more. And he pulls me out. I'm concerned with that. Yet my Lord is always there. The closer to the end of my walk I get, I know what Paul was talking about when he said, I finished my course. There's no coming into it. But you know what? There's not going to be any problems there. Paul said, I'm caught in the strait betwixt two things. Whether to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better, or to stay, which is needful for you. But precious children of God, as we heard this morning, we need wisdom every day. We need the Lord every step of the way. And he pulls us out of so many things we don't even know about all of them. Said, and he set my feet on a rock, and he put a new song in my lips. Okay, I know a new song. I'd like to say that you know a lot of new songs. When the Hebrew children crossed the Red Sea and hit the bank on the other side, the waters closed up on the army. What did they do? The same song. They stopped and sang a song of deliverance at that point. They couldn't sing that song before that time, could they? They could sing about it after that time, but they couldn't sing the same song they sung at that moment. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, how sweet it is. But you're singing about a past event. I tell you that our lives are full of a lot of songs like Amazing Grace. We don't sing them all, do we? But the Lord has put them in our heart. How many things have you been delivered from? How many times were the children of Israel delivered? How many occasions did they have to sing about a new deliverance? Maybe it's not oasis to oasis to oasis. Maybe it's deliverance to deliverance to deliverance. Could that be a possibility? How many oases do we cross by in a lifetime? In a daytime, in a nighttime? How many times do we get delivered? We don't know. We only know this. We know who the deliverer is. The three Hebrew children standing there. Says, we don't know what he's going to decide to do. But, O King, we know this. He will deliver us out of your hands. Precious children of God, we've been delivered out of hands since even before we came into this world. And there's one last victory to be won. And we're not even in the fight. The last thing to be conquered is the grave. And the Lord takes care of that one, does he not? What do we have to be thankful for? I can see the blessings here today. Each and every one of you are a blessing. I can see how the church has prospered physically. You think that's not a blessing from the Lord? Certainly it is. Certainly. The Lord blesses us with the sweet breath of life that we have. And He blesses us to enjoy that life. I believe He wants us to enjoy it. He gave it to us. He doesn't want us to go sin. But is that the way, only way we have of enjoying life? With wine and song? How about with praying and fellowship? What do we enjoy here today? What do you enjoy? Fellowship? Singing? Preaching? Praying? You enjoy it all, right? Why? It's a gift from God. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above from the Father of lights. What else do you want to thank Him for? How many things can you thank Him for? You can't put a list to them, can you? And we're so brash as to think that we are deterministic in ourselves. We're such creatures of hope, such proud creatures of hope. You got in your car this morning and says, I'm going to church. You believed in your heart that that car was going to deliver you to church. It was a foregone conclusion. I'm going to get there. That was a trip in hope. You got in the car and first of all, you hoped it'd crank. Second of all, you hoped you didn't run over the neighbor. Or the neighbor didn't run over you. Or a train didn't run over you. Or you didn't run out of gas. Or you didn't pass away. Strong belief, but it's all hope. And that's what we have. We have hope from God. Why? Because of the text I just read to you. Because He's delivered us over and over and over again. That's where our hope comes from. Peter wrote, be ready to give reason for the hope that you have. What does that mean? Start quoting the Bible? No. It's not even what's under consideration. Peter says, why do you hope? I'm going to tell you why I hope. One day the Lord showed up in my life and He showed me this sweet Primitive Baptist Church. He showed me this sweet doctrine. He showed me the face of Jesus Christ. I saw it once, again, again, and again. And just like Stephen on a day when he said, I look into heaven and I can see my Savior sitting at the right hand of God. How many times have I seen that? How many times have you seen that? Stop and think about it. You have been there. You believe, Stephen, because you've seen the same image. That's the reason I have hope. Because my God has been with me. He has shown me His face. He has shown me His power. Not everybody has seen it. Except them to whom He revealed it. Sacrifices and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Isn't that interesting? He started out saying, the Lord, listen to me. He finished up by saying, I listen to the Lord. Interesting. Interesting. You hear. You see. You speak. Thank the Lord. God bless you.